Good morning, Calvary. Merry Christmas to everybody. Are you getting excited? We have a special joy that everyone else doesn't. You know why? Because we know the real reason for the season. You know, that's extremely important to remember that. But what's also extremely important is to let others know why we're celebrating this season. Me and my mom yesterday went a little shopping, and everyone I said Merry Christmas to, their face lit up, and they were so excited. So people are hungry for the word. We just need to keep telling them what Christianity, the whole thing is all about. So if you get that chance to talk one-on-one, please take it. You know, God will bless you as well as them. So we've got some announcements here this morning. So be sure, right behind you guys, right straight in front of me, there's a mail slot, and you can drop off some Christmas cards. Be sure to check to see if you've got any cards as well. And what we do is if you want to put the postage that you would normally mail that card to in the little plate there, that will go to Lottie Moon. So it's a great way to also just give and get Christmas cards. So please check that before you guys leave. I'm really excited. I always love Christmas Eve service. It's such a great time. And I believe, Miss Jessica, is Taylor preaching that night? I don't know where my dad went. But I think he's going to be doing that evening. So it's very exciting. Come, invite your loved ones that might go to church on a different day. But that'll be Christmas Eve at 5 p.m. We'll have a candlelight service that evening. It's always a special time with family and our church family. We've got some birthdays, Miss Kyla, Carol, and Justice. So remember them in prayer and wish them a happy birthday. And I'm excited about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Look at our goal and look at how close we are. Folks, we can get that knocked out. God blesses every cent. Every cent of that goes to the Lottie Moon. So if you get a chance to give, even just a little, it will go for great things. The offering envelopes are back there on the table. And the month of December, we've got a chance to give some juice boxes and snacks to the Harlan Christian Youth Center. So be praying about that as well. All right, if you wouldn't mind, let's bow our heads and open in prayer. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you so much for your gift to us, the gift of your Son. We just want to remember what this season is all about. And we thank you for that. We thank you for the special times that we get to share special memories with our families and our loved ones. For those that can be here and those that can't, please be with them in a special way. Dear God, I just ask a special blessing on each and every person here today and their families. I just ask that you would greatly bless them in a unique way that they'll be able to say, that's a God thing. That's a God thing. Because you can do that. You can answer prayers. You can touch lives. We just thank you for the service today. Thank you for us being able to gather and sing and praise and worship you. And then I ask that you be with my father as he breaks the bread today and open our hearts and make us receptive to what you would have us learn and hear today. And all these things I pray. Amen.
Come, let us worship the King. Jesus the Savior is Lord, for the Lord will reign over all the earth. Come, let us worship the King. Jesus the Savior is Lord, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised through all the earth. Let us worship the King. Jesus the Savior is born, for the Lord will reign over all the earth. Come, let us worship the King. Jesus the Savior is born, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised through all the earth. Let us worship the King. The Christian will rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Give heed to what we say. Jesus Christ is born today. Man and beast before him bow, and he is in the manger now. Christ is born today. Christ is born today. The Christian men rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now you'll hear of endless bliss. Jesus Christ was born for this. He has opened heaven's door, and man is blessed forevermore. Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. Oh,
as a car.
Savior is born, for the Lord will reign over all the earth. Come, let us worship the King. Jesus the Savior is born, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Through all the earth, let us worship the King.
good to see you this morning. You have your Bible, turn there to Isaiah chapter 9. I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. And so we'll pick up those verses this morning. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievous afflict her by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nations, and not increased the joy. They joy before them according to the joy in the harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his bondage, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppression, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth ever forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Father, we know, recognize at this time of the year, there are great Christmas songs, there are great things we can think about. And the greatest of all is this wonderful, wonderful pronouncement of the birth of Christ. And we thank you for that. We ask you that we would might lift our hearts up and we might celebrate. And Lord, go with a word of peace on our mind and our hearts and our lips. Be with us this morning as we look at your holy word. Speak to us from it. Energize us, Father, that there's much to be done in this old world and little time to do it, but we're commissioned to be your people. We're commissioned to be your spokesmen. We are to be commissioned to be the good news people. Help us to bring that good news. Lord, bless everyone here this morning in a very special way, those who could not be here for whatever reason it might be. And then we ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts and mind to your word. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Years ago, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt said this. You'll remember what this is. He said, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a day which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. A state of war has existed between the United States of America and the Empire of Japan. With confidence in our armed forces, and with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God. That was a day that changed the world, wasn't it? December 7th, 1941. It's a day that evidently, right, Tom? When you say my birthday is the day after December, day after Pearl Harbor, some people don't know what that date is, do they? She was close. She got within 10 or 15 days. I thought to myself, I said it there, I couldn't believe it. This girl does not know the date, December 7th, 1941. Well, we've got work to do. There are people who don't know what Jesus brought and what he gave and what he taught and what he can bring to you. It's the same thing there, isn't it? And so we have this confidence, Roosevelt said. And he ended that little speech by saying, so help us, what? God. That was the day that changed the world. The defeat of the Spanish Armada. Someone, I looked this up on the computer, and I was interested to find that there were several things that they would list as days that changed the world. Some of them, I thought, well, you missed that one, and you missed that one. When was the Twin Towers, those Islamic terrorists, attacked? What day was that? Does anybody know? September 11th? Yeah. 2001. That's not been that long ago, is it? A day that should never be forgotten, But we forget, don't we? Days that change the world. We must be reminded of these days because we have really short memories. We're drawing close to the Christmas season, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. All history is divided by that birth. Today is Sunday, December 17th, 2023. BC basically means before Christ. AD, though, does not mean after death, does it? It's Latin for Anno Domini Notus Jesus Christus. And last, in Latin, it says, in the year of our Lord. So every time you write down a check and you put the right day, that's what you're saying, in the year of our Lord. Our society, though, is in big trouble. We don't know when Pearl Harbor was. We don't know what some of the significant days is. I don't know that we know history anymore. Even general history, I'm sure that we have a great confidence in that. We had three women just a few days ago, supposedly the smartest women in the world, who sat before a congressional committee, these three Ivy League presidents of the schools there, and they could not define anti-Semitism. Friends, we're in trouble. I think they knew what anti-Semitism was. They just didn't want to say it. Because they knew that there was trouble brewing where they came from. There were going to be protests this way or protests that way. There's going to be trouble in the streets. And so they avoided the question. But we have heard more and more that Christmas carols are to be too offensive to be sung this time of the year. And can we sing them on Easter? Can we sing them in the middle of the summer? Because this time of the year, I thought, well, maybe it's specific. I don't know. And that word Christ, of course, is very offensive. Many see Jesus as a great moral teacher, nothing more. Strange it is that this great moral teacher, in his teachings, taught that he was God in the flesh. So he's either nutty as a fruitcake, or he's who he said he was. And I think he said and was who he said he was. So the Son of God, Isaiah says down here in verse 7, he lists all this troubling passages down to verse 7. He says, in the increase of his government, the peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment, with justice, and henceforth even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. I always like that little passage when the wise men come to Herod in Jerusalem, and they inquire of him, you know, where is he that's born king of the Jews? You know, Herod was I think, a schizophrenic, nutwink, murderer in every degree, but he wasn't crazy. He knew what they were talking about. Matter of fact, I think he used that opportunity to turn to his Bible scholars and say, hey, because he didn't say the king. He says, where is the Christ to be born? And they said what? In Bethlehem of Ephrata, out of thee shall come a king, a ruler, who shall govern my people Israel. And of course, they're quoting. And Herod knew that was the case. That was the right thing. But people have different ideas about things, that's for sure. And surely, we don't want to try to brainwash everybody into believing whatever it might be, whether it be the truth of God or something else. If that's the case, it's not. You haven't gained a thing, have you? Buddhists see Jesus as the Bhagavad-gita, you know that? The enlightened one being full of compassion who helps people. I always think, you know, Buddhism and Hinduism are very closely akin. And Hinduism has come to revere Jesus as a self-realized saint. I always think that's kind of, what does that mean, a self-realized saint? Who has reached the highest level of God consciousness. What? Who has reached the highest level of God consciousness? Hinduism teaches that if you finally would realize it, you're God. It's nutty. It's psychobabble. But people love it, And people get involved in it. And people give their lives over to it. And all those kind of things. Philosophies of every kind. Of course, Buddhism is akin to Hinduism. And when they talk about Jesus being the perfectly enlightened one, they're talking about what the Hindus teach in that particular sense. Our Muslim friends believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. That's pretty good. He was a prophet. That's pretty good. He was a great man. That's pretty good. But nothing more. That's not so good. Not so good. Our Jewish friends, of course, don't really know what to do with Jesus. He's still giving them problems. The question that demands an answer is, who is this child that was born in Bethlehem's manger? Who angels? Can you imagine? I always think about these things. I don't know how your mind works in that way. And, of course, we have to realize that this is my just wild imagination. I'm just thinking about these shepherds who are out in the fields. And they're watching a big screen TV, watching the late night news, things like that. No, they didn't have anything to do with watch the sheep. And all of a sudden, the scripture tells us, a heavenly host came and announced the birth of Christ and sang to them. Wonder what they sang. Oh, wee. But I always like that next part. The shepherd said, being a shepherd doesn't mean you're dumb. Being a shepherd doesn't mean that you can't grasp great and mighty truths. They said, hey, let us go to Bethlehem and see what these guys are talking about. Ah, yeah. That's a good idea. The child that was there, Mary, the angels who greeted that the shepherds with that anthem. The chorus, of course, is this Christ the King? The shepherds whom guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him laud. Laud is praise. The babe, the son of Mary. 700 years before that glorious event, before Mary and Joseph, under compulsion, a decree went out from Caesar Augusta that all the world should be taxed. And Mary and Joseph left Galilee and went to their hometown of Bethlehem because they were of the house of what? David. You know what that means? Mary, this little humble girl, Joseph, this little humble guy, guess what they were? Now, if they were in England, there would be somebody chasing them around trying to get them to put a crown on their head. Because that's what they were. They were royalty. And so they go and check this out. Isaiah, I think, I don't know how, when he takes his pen and he dips that pen in that ink and begins to write, a wise man said he was looking into the future. He was giving the good news to the present. And Isaiah wrote the most important single event of all history in mankind, the birth of Jesus. Wow, what a privilege, huh? Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. That's something worth looking into, isn't it? First of all, for unto us a child is born. I think that this is very important for us to recognize and realize. For unto us a child is born. A child is born. I know I've said stupid things in the past. I will continue to say stupid things in the future. But every now and then, you go to Parkview over on DuPont Road or something like that, or Parkview Randalia or Lutheran Hospital or something like that, because somebody, one of our girls is having a baby. And you'll go into that room, and here she's in the bed, and her husband's there, and maybe the grandma's there, and that kind of stuff. And they take the baby up, and they put it, and they say, look, Pastor, isn't she beautiful? Isn't he handsome? And I go, well, maybe one day. Well, they just squished him through the birth canal here a minute ago. But you know what they're saying? They're looking at that baby with different kind of eyes. We need to look at this baby with different kind of eyes. A child is born. The average child in the United States of America is 7 pounds or 7.5 pounds. Is that that's what I read. I don't know why I was doing stuff, and I thought, I wonder how about the average birth weight of a child is. My darling wife knows all this kind of stuff. How much did Todd weigh when he was born? 5'14". He's a little skinny fella. Yeah. Yeah. He was just like a string bean there, you know. We've got a picture of him. I don't know if it's you. Somebody's holding the poor child up, and he looks like some emaciated person that came from whatever, you know. But we were kind of happy about the whole thing. We really were. How about Matthew? 7'2". We did better. We put a little more food into his body, a little bit, things like that, yeah. Listen, Jesus, we're not told what he weighed, but we're told of who he was. He was very God of very God. He took upon himself human flesh to save those that were born in the flesh. He came to save men and women, boys and girls, who had fallen into sin. Jesus walked like a man, didn't he? Matter of fact, the scripture says sometimes he got tired. He had feelings like a man. He was tempted like a man, yet without sin. For 33 years he lived in the flesh, yet without sin. The writer of Hebrews tells us, "For we have not a great high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are." What does it say? Yet without sin. That's the thing. Jesus truly knows our struggles, though. He really does. Jesus could reach out and touch that child. Jesus could minister to. Jesus could listen to the problems. Jesus would confront everyday things, because he was an everyday person in that sense. He understood all those things. Understood all those things. He could relate to the poor. I often kind of wonder sometimes, what's going to happen to some of these folks who just got tons and tons, it's not me, of course, have tons and tons and tons of money, and they die, and they go to heaven, or maybe they go to hell, I don't know. And they wake up, and they say to themselves, why didn't I use my vast fortune to touch people's lives with the truth of God? I wonder how many people is going to be that way. I think a lot. I think a lot. Listen, we know the beauty about who Jesus' personality was is he could relate to us as individuals, relate to us as real people. There was no place, the scripture says, for him to lay his head. He was poor in the way the world counts riches. Jesus understood that humanity is fickle because so many had abandoned him. Remember, he asked the disciples, are you going to leave me too? There were those who heard what he said and thought everything was wonderful. Hey, this is great. Maybe we can get another free meal, you know, some bread and some fishes or something, whatever, and all those kind of things. And since he didn't do those kind of things, they had nothing more to do. I wonder, isn't that terrible? I wonder how many Baptists are going to stand before God Almighty. And they're going to say, Lord, I hardly ever missed a Sunday. Lord, I was in Bible study. Lord, I gave. Lord, I did this. Lord, I did that. And maybe the most dreadful words in all the world is, depart from me, I never knew you. I never knew you. You know, I think Caleb and I have been talking a little bit of late, and I think that I'm a Baptist because Baptists believe the Bible. I think the Bible is the thing. You show me in the Bible what I'm supposed to be doing and let me understand that, I think that's what I'm supposed to be doing. Isn't there, no equivocation. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's the directions I have. It's the book of life for all lives. It's true down to the last little iota. Remember Jesus said, not one iota, not one jot, not one tittle shall pass away until all be fulfilled. I don't know. I probably said this a million times, but a jot and a tittle is just nothing. It's breathing marks. It's just a line to help the reader realize that here you take your breath and emphasize that. Not one jot or tittle is going to pass away. Jesus could minister to those who were crushed by death because he loved people. How many times in the scripture do we have somebody coming running up to Jesus and telling him something? Listen. my little daughter is at home. She's dying. Could you come and see? If you just come. I always like that when Jesus enters in that little house, Tabitha's house, and there's the professional mourners. I've got a couple of good friends that work from DMO Cones and things like that. I like those guys. But they're professional morticians. They're not going to tell you something that's going to upset you. They're not going to say something like, well, how about your mom? How about your dad? How about your brother? Did they know Jesus? They're not going to say that because they know that might upset you. And if that upsets you, then they don't get paid. I wonder if that works that way with others like us too. We don't get paid, but we're afraid to offend somebody. Jesus knew what it was. Jesus understood what it was. When those folks were there and they were all crying and mourning and those kind of things, and Jesus says, where's she at? And the parent says, in there. And he said, just get out of the way. Remember, scripture said, and they thought, he doesn't understand, does he? She's dead. She's dead. But Jesus went in there. Those small details of scripture. Took her hand. And said what? Tabitha, little girl, arise. Wow. From heartbreaking catastrophe to life. Now, I didn't come up with this. I'm sure some good black preacher probably did one of these days a long time ago. But I've said it a couple of times. When Jesus went out and Mary and Martha came, told him about their brother Lazarus who had died, who Jesus loved. He'd had fellowship there. He'd stayed at their house and all those kind of things. Jesus waited four days because he knew that meant no hope. There's no hope. And then he went out there and he said to those folks, those good folks, pull the stone away. And what did he get good advice? He did it, didn't he? Pull the stone away. It's kind of hot out here. And he's been dead for 4 days. Woo-wee. He's going to stinketh. Jesus said, take the stone away. But here's the thing that I thought was so interesting and is so true. If Jesus hadn't said, Lazarus, come forth. If he would have just said, come forth. Everybody that was dead in the grave in any of those sections, all those people would have come forth. He said, well, I don't know if that says that in the scripture. I don't know either. But I heard a pastor say that one time, and surely he was right. Because I believe that's true. Jesus said Lazarus because he wanted Lazarus to come forth. Come forth. Come forth. Unbelievable, isn't it? Jesus understood life, the hardships of life. He understood poverty because he was never wealthy. He understood all those kind of things. He understood about death. He understood about disease. I always like that. I don't like that passage, Dennis, but we've talked about it many times. Remember when the lepers came and Jesus said, go to the priest and show yourself and come back. And when they came back, Jesus said what? Were there not 10? over half of them never came back. They didn't come back and say, Jesus, thank you, or anything like that. They just went on their way. I think we're kind of like that. Once we get what we want, that's all. Put God back on the shelf. Push him back to some comfortable car or someplace. Because you see, if we understood that Jesus, the Lord of glory, has the power to say, Tabitha, come in. If he had the power to say, Lazarus, come forth. He has the power. He has the glory and the wisdom and the power to save us from sin. I've said this before, but I think it's so true. Sonia's brother, Johnny, was one of those children in Alabama who, when they got the polio vaccine, the oral vaccine, he caught polio. He was fine until they took the medicine. And then he got polio. So all his life, he had one leg that was shorter than the other. And you know, the thing that I always thought was so strange, whenever they wanted to operate on him, they didn't want to operate on the little leg. What did they want to do? Operate on the right one. Match it up with the little leg. Match it up with the little leg. But I had just married this gal over here, and we were doing pretty good, I think. David, here's her younger brother, never did like me much. Johnny will kind of like me. I kind of like people like me. I like Johnny. He's a good guy. He was a good judge of character, you know. Yeah. But you know what? One day... we're going to go from transition from this world, probably just like that, from life into death into life everlasting, just like that. And when we get to heaven, guess what? We're going to have to watch out what we're doing a little bit, because there's nobody going to be running up to me with one leg that's shorter than the other. There's not going to be any boys that have been riddled with cancer. That's not going to happen. It's all going to be glory then. That's why I want to go, don't you? Man, if it was just a replay of this time, I don't care anything about this. I've seen enough of this stuff. I want to see something that only God can do, and God has promised us that's what he would do. It's going to be glory. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be great time. It's going to be a time of love and a time of rejoicing. And of course, I received the Lord when I was 21, I think it was, in Korea. And I wrote my wife and all this kind of stuff. And we had Korea was just like an incubator. It was a place where plants could grow, where young Christians could grow too if they wanted to. It was a great time there, great time. So I come back to the States. One of the first things I wanted to do was talk to my dad. Earl, let me tell you what happened to me. How I got down on my side of my bed. How I asked Christ to come into my life. How he changed my life, my heart. The whole direction of my life has changed. My dad never condescended to us as boys. But when Sonia would say something to him, you know what he would say? It's amazing. I always thought that was amazing. How does he do that? How does he do that? I would have loved to have my dad just reach his hand out and shake my hand and say, okay, son, I got you. No, I ain't going to do that. No. I'm a man. I'm supposed to be strong. You know, be strong. But when this girl would put her hand out, he would take her hand and he would say, hon, I love you. I thought to myself, what happened? Who changed my dad? He was over here, now he's over here. But God is so sweet and so wonderful and so great. My dad never once acknowledged Christ in his whole life, as far as his physical life that I know anything about, except when he was dying of cancer and the hospice chaplain came out there and asked him, he said, Earl, listen, do you want me to sugarcoat it or give it to me plain? And my dad said, of course, the way he was, give it to me plain. He said, now listen, if you haven't received Christ in your life, you're going to die and you're going to be eternally separated from your family and from God and all that you love. Wouldn't you like to have the promise of God in Christ? And you know what my dad said? Okay, let's do that. You know, when I first heard that, I thought, there's my dad for you. He wouldn't listen to me. He wouldn't listen to my brother. He wouldn't listen to anybody. He wouldn't even listen to hun, any of those kind of things. But let a stranger come who's quote-unquote the chaplain, and this guy says, listen, Earl, do you want to go to heaven or go to hell? And my dad says, I think I'd rather go to heaven. Isn't that great? Isn't God so wonderful? Is that he didn't say, well, you don't hardly have much life left in you. And so there's not going to be anybody running around and you're doing good deeds. You're not going to give any money to the church or to benevolence or anything like that. You're not going to do any of those kind of things. God doesn't care about any of that, you know, because it's all his. He doesn't need that stuff. What he wants is our hearts. What kind of child is this? What kind of God is this? Who puts upon himself human flesh and comes as a babe in a manger. That's unbelievable. Except it's so wonderful because it's so true. So true. A man of sorrow and acquainted with griefs. Jesus knew all about that stuff. Jesus fully understood that we're going through and the wickedness of the world and all those kind of things around it. And I in doing this sermon, I thought, it came to my mind, that's how these things come, they just, you know, doesn't make any sense, but there it is. It was a song. If my heart could tell a story, if my life would sing a song, if I would have a testimony, if I have anything at all. And boy, you know, I couldn't hardly sing this morning. I guess it must be that COVID-27 that I had or something like that. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. Isn't that something? Isn't that marvelous? No one ever cared. He's faithful all the way. That's who Jesus is. And when I'm old and gray, and boy, I am, and all my days are numbered on this earth, let it be known in all alone, my joy was found in Jesus. Let my children tell their children, let that be their memory, that all my treasure was in heaven and you were everything to me. That's a song. I thought we could sing it, but Mondale said you can't sing that song. She said you can't sing any song, let alone that song. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. You know, that's true. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. Your sweet mother doesn't love you like Jesus. Your dear dad or your grandfather, whoever. No one ever cared for you like Jesus. No one has ever impacted the world for you like Jesus had. Isaiah said that this child would display wonderful spiritual insights, revealing the mind of God Almighty. This baby boy would reveal every mind of God. And Jesus did that every time, every time. I want to read a little verse to you from Matthew. Do we have that verse by any chance, Lou? Matthew 22, chapter 22, starting in verse 23. It says this. The same day came to him the Sadducees. Now, basically, in Jesus' day, there were the Baptists and the Catholics. I'm just kidding you. The Sadducees and the Pharisees. The same day came to him the Sadducees who said, there is no resurrection. That's what they believed. That's why they were sad, you see. there is no resurrection. And they said, Master, Moses said, listen, they don't believe in a resurrection, so what's the question they're going to ask him? About the resurrection. Master, Moses said, if man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. And that is in the Old Testament. It's exactly what they were supposed to do. And there was with us seven brothers. So they thought, let's complicate this. Let's get this stew really juicy. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, he died, having no issue, he didn't have any children, left his wife unto his brother. Then likewise, the second, so the first guy dies, he leaves his brother, he dies, and he leaves to his brother, the third, all the way to the seventh. Now, I just can imagine some of you ladies sitting still and saying, I've had five brothers reject me. Don't bring another one over here. Don't bring another. You're not getting cookies anymore over here. You're not getting. Don't you think? And last of all, the woman died. And then this is what the question they wanted to say. This, they were setting Jesus up. They said, therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? They all had married her. And Jesus said to them, you do error. You're wrong, guys. You don't know anything. You don't know the scriptures, and you don't know the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry or given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, verse 32, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, who is not the God of the dead, but of the living. These guys were supposed to be Bible scholars, and they didn't know that. Or they rejected it, one or two. They didn't know it. And when the multitude heard these things, what does the scripture say there? They were astonished at his doctrine. They were astonished at his teachings. Wouldn't it have been cool? Wouldn't it have been marvelous to sit down and just listen to Jesus talking and teaching? Oh, my goodness, wouldn't it have been cool? Wouldn't it have been great? You would have gained insights never before revealed on the face of the earth, because Jesus had clear vision. He knew who he was. He knew what he was about. And he understood the word of God. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing. That baby boy could reveal the very mind of God the Father Almighty. Now, maybe if you got your Bible open to John, turn over to Luke chapter 7. You could do this a million times. Chapter 7. You know this story. I wouldn't have picked it if you didn't know it. John chapter 7. Starting down there in verse 53. And it says, and every man went unto his own house. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came unto him. And he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. So Jesus is sitting down teaching the word of God. And all these guys can think about is trying to catch Jesus in some sort of trap. The scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery. What does it say? In the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? You don't think that Jesus understood what Moses was saying in the law? Of course he did. This, they said, tempting him that they might have something to accuse him. Jesus stooped down, and with his finger he began to write in the ground as though he heard them not. I've heard all kinds of great sermons about what that is. None of those guys knew what Jesus wrote in the dirt. None of them. And when he had continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, okay, how about this? He, that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And again he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. Now, I don't know if that's somewhat helpful, but I thought to myself, maybe if you live long enough, you learn something. The older guys left first. The younger guys are still beating their chest. And Jesus was left alone, and a woman standing in the midst. And Jesus had lifted himself up. He saw none but the woman. He said unto her, "Woman, where are those that thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, "I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of lights." Wow. Isn't that marvelous? Isn't it great to know that one day you're going to stand before the throne of God, who knows everything, and he's not going to condemn you. He's going to show you mercy. Mercy, 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 mercy. Well, we celebrate, I think, Christmas for the right reasons, because it's the mercy of God being manifest in the world, in real time, in a real place, with a real person, in real people. Emmanuel, God with us. You know what? They're fighting over there right now. They're killing each other right now. Because neither group understands who Jesus is. Wouldn't it be better for somebody to not only send them a little something to eat and some bandages and all those kind of things like some of these charitable organizations are doing it? I'm not saying that those things aren't good. But wouldn't it be good to slip some scripture in with that? Putting it in different languages, maybe 3 or 4 different languages, so that no matter who got that, they could read about the greatness and the majesty of Jesus, who is Lord of all. They don't have to worry about being from the river to the sea. They need to worry about coming to the one who made the rivers and the sea, who is the Lord of all, the great and mighty I am. Joy, joy, joy. We're talking about a child, a baby, born to Mary and Joseph, who are the house of David. The scepter should not pass from David's house. God keeps his promises. Isn't that marvelous? God keeps his promises today, too. So when somebody says, "I don't think I like those Christmas carols," you know what you might could say? You could say, "Well, happy holidays." And they would say, "Oh, okay, we got that guy." Uh-huh. And then you can explain to them that holiday is a contraction for happy holy days. And these are holy because Jesus was born. Woo! They'd probably run right out of Walmart's, huh? Right out of the parking lot. Woo! But that's who we are. We're the people of God. If we don't have a word, nobody does. So let's use this time for the glory and the majesty of the one who came and taught like no man ever taught, who raised the dead just by speaking a word, who touched the sick and made them whole, who taught truths that we still go, today. Let's introduce them to Jesus. Let's pray that God might give us an opportunity for that in the days ahead. Father God, thank you for who you are and what you're about. And your grace and your mercy to us, Lord, is unbelievable. There aren't any categories in which you do not excel in. There are not any promises that you do not keep. And you keep them in great and mighty ways, sometimes beyond what we might even can understand with our intellect, sinful as it is. Let us worship you in spirit and in truth. Let us touch the world around us, because we're not going to be here forever. Let us magnify the Lord, for it's in his beautiful, wonderful name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing. We have an invitation. If you have never accepted Christ, maybe today would be the day that you could be blessed out of your mind. Yeah.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to
probably shouldn't do this, so I'm not going to say that. Don't turn to your right or left and shake somebody's hand, because if they get COVID-23, they'll be on your back, that's for sure. So don't do that, but turn to that right or left before you leave here this morning and say something like, Jesus is Lord. Praise his name for what he has done for me. Some kind of word of testimony. Jesus loves me. Some kind of word of testimony that might be exactly what that person next to you needs to hear. Can we do that? Is that too hard? Let's do that. Father God, we thank you. Who you are, you see all, you know all. You have wrapped yourself in the frailty of human flesh, came to us and spoke to us, gave us examples to live by. And of course, you became the perfect sacrifice for sin. You took the weight of the world upon yourself and paid that sin debt. And then gloriously, marvelously, on the third day, so that we would not have any excuse for not realizing who you are, you rose up from the dead. Triumph over death, hell, and the grave. For these things we ask in that mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hey, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.